Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. On page one of today's Times Union is a fantastic story about two soldiers who first met in Vietnam in 1967 and reunited recently in Albany to exchange a watch given for safekeeping from one warrior to another. It is these types of stories, fantastic tales, chronicles that span decades, that drive our imaginations and touch our hearts. Today we want to hear your true life epic, whether a remembrance of a long time ago, a time long past, or a recent tale of heroism, life, love, or events that shaped your world. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Well, before we go any further, let me just read you what has been put in front of me. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a tornado warning for Northern Washington County in East Central New York, East Central Warren County in Central New York. And as you heard on the weather forecast, you never know. And that the conditions throughout our region are going to be just, ripe for tornadoes within thunderstorms as we go today. I will never forget the time. In fact, there are many of you with weather stories, and if you wish to call with a weather story as opposed to one of the great stories of your life, you could do that tell us about it. I remember being in Michael Ballin's Castle Street Cafe with Roselle in the front window. And all of a sudden, the sky got green. I mean, really green. All of a sudden, the fire engines went off, and out came fire engines from right at the time. There was a fire station right next to the restaurant. They came out, and we ran out in the street and said, "What's going on?" They said, "Tornadoes." And boy, were there ever. So you never know where they're going to be. And it's a good thing when you hear these warnings to get out of danger. Very important. If you have a story like that, be glad to hear it. There have been many in our area, we know that. Or if you have a story of, unrequited love, the lady that you thought was gone from your life forever, and she came back into your life with a man. Those are great stories, and how people get married years later. Anyway, we'll have some fun today, or we'll tell some stories. But right now, here's Alan, and he's going solo. And what that means is you're sitting here in the catbird seat, and not a single phone is ringing. Well, that's a very sad circumstance, because then you have to tell your own stories. And you'd much rather hear somebody else's. So I'll tell you the story of Dan Berman, okay? Since nobody's calling. 1-800-348-2551. When I was about to be bar mitzvahed, after my brother and I had been thrown out of the Temple Road of Sholem for not bringing our dioramas, or what ensued after that, to class, my mother had us enrolled at the Stephen Wise Free Synagogue in New York. And Rabbi Klein, who was the head guy, said, "I'll take them," to my mother, "but they have to be tutored in order to get through this bar mitzvah thing." So what happened was we went, and they got us a tutor named Dan Berman. And Dan Berman was a big, tall guy, looked like Ernie Kovacs, tall, and the rest of it. And we said to him, and he sat there, and he didn't like what you did, as I remember, he kicked you in the shins. My brother really didn't like him very much, and I was more laissez-faire. And years later, I went to American University, and I went to the Washington Semester Program, and there was a professor named Dan Berman, but this Dan Berman was a woman, an Asian wife. He'd written several major books in political science. And we get through the thing. I come back, and I'm talking to my friend Alan Rosenthal, who is my mentor at the time, and who says to me, we're comparing common boyhoods on the west side of Manhattan. And he says, and I tell him about Dan Berman, looks just like the Dan Berman who was my bar mitzvah tutor. And he said, "Well, he studied for the rabbinate." And he said, wait, get on the phone. And he calls Dan Berman, wherever he was, in Princeton or wherever, and he starts to talk to him and says, hey, Dan, Alan Rosenthal. Yeah, Alan, what do you want? He said, well, you know, Shartok was over here for dinner, and he thinks he remembered his bar mitzvah tutor was the same guy. There are two phone calls now. This is good. I knew I'd bore you into this. It was the same guy who, you looked just like the guy who was a bar mitzvah tutor. And there was a, there's a short moment at the end, and he says, I thought the little, that's because I can't say it on the radio, would never remember. Now, isn't that a phenomenal story? And doesn't that give you courage to do your thing? Okay, let's go to Katrine in Coatskill. Okay, Katrine, you're on the air.
And thank you. And thank you, Alan. How are you?
And thank you for saving me. I appreciate it.
You know, I just wanted to share just a little bit about my story. I had been in a relationship for 2 years. Uh-huh. It ended poorly. I got cheated on. I totally said, you know what? That's it. I'm gonna die single. I'm a divorced single mom and all that good stuff. But you know what? I met the love of my life, and I hung on to that relationship that wasn't working out with that cheater, thinking that somehow it would work out. And finally, when I got rid of him, the right guy came along, and it's so funny. As we got to know each other, we found out that there were different times in our lives where we were in the same place,
sure,
in the same area, and we never, ever met until now. So,
what do you make of that?
I talked to him about that, and he said, you know, the only thing is just like, you know, the stars had to align or something. Things had to just come together, and he said, slowly but surely, we were working our way to each other until it was the right time to meet. And it just made sense.
Well, I love your story. Thank you so much for telling it, Catherine.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. And what's your story? Let's go to Daisy in Holyoke, Massachusetts. I love to hear from Holyoke, Daisy. Welcome.
Hi. Well, I just thought you might like to hear a weather story. My husband isn't here to tell it, but
okay.
I can tell it for him. He grew up in Kansas, in various cities in Kansas. He and his family were living in Topeka, and they were at the public swimming pool on a summer day, and big clouds massing up on the horizon. And suddenly there came the announcement, everybody go home, a tornado is approaching.
Well, and we know from Dorothy, Kansas is a dangerous place for
tornadoes. That's right, yeah. Yes, and they didn't have Toto with them.
No.
So they went home, and their mother called from work, and she said, get some food and go down in the basement. Okay. So here, my husband was maybe 7, and his sister was 8, and their brother was 12. Or 13, and they said, oh, what shall we do? So the thing that's funny is what they took down in the basement.
Ah.
They took a big package of crackers. They grabbed a bowl of Jell-O from the refrigerator.
Ooh.
And they each grabbed a kitchen knife because they figured that they might have to claw their way out of the rubble. Ooh. After the house was destroyed.
Wow. Wow.
As it turned out, the tornado went by them 2 blocks away, and all they had to do was eat Jell-O and cookies for an hour, and they were fine.
That's interesting. Daisy, I was once on a Boy Scout hike, and we lost our way, and uh-huh. We were coming back, and there was a giant rainstorm.
Ah.
I'm just remembering this now. Mm-hmm. And we went in, there was a lean-to, you know, there, and we all went under the lean-to, and all we had in our packs that were left from our trip were onions, mustard, and white bread.
Oh, yuck.
I'm telling you something. Nothing has ever tasted better in my whole life. And one of these days, I'm going to make myself a mustard, white bread, and onion sandwich. They were great. They were great.
But you'll have to get very hungry first.
Yes, indeed. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you, Daisy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. Okay, so Todd in Spencer, Massachusetts. Todd, you're on.
Hi. You're talking about unrequited love and all that. And recently, I got divorced about 4 years ago. Man, I went through the whole, you know, it was more losing the family than it was losing her. And I hate to say that, but that's what it amounted to.
Yeah.
And I found...
I know what you mean.
...absolute perfect woman who has, you know, she has two children. And we actually, it would have been 2 years this August we dated.
Okay, just hold on one second, Todd. This is very important. We're going to let Brian read a weather announcement. Go ahead, Brian.
Alan, the National Weather Service has just issued a tornado warning for southern Hamilton County in eastern New York and extreme northwestern Fulton County, also in eastern New York. That's in effect until 2:45. At 2:13, Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado 20 miles southwest of Lake Pleasant or 19 miles north of Little Falls, moving east at 30 miles per hour. The tornado will be near Lake Pleasant, Wells, the Sacandaga Campground, and Moffett Beach Campground by about 2:45. Again, a tornado warning just issued by the National Weather Service for southern Hamilton County in eastern New York and extreme northwestern Fulton County in eastern New York until 2:45. Radar indicated a severe storm capable of producing a tornado about 20 miles southwest of Lake Pleasant or 19 miles north of Little Falls, moving east at 30. The tornado will be near Lake Pleasant, Wells, Sacandaga Campground, and Moffett Beach Campground by 2:45. And again, a tornado warning will expire in about 10 minutes for portions of Warren and Washington counties. Alan?
And Brian, you'll keep us up to date as these things happen?
I will.
Thank you very much. Okay, and Todd, would you hold on a second? We have to take a break. Would you be willing to stay? And we'll be right back with you, okay?
Absolutely.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, featuring the exhibition Mark Adams and Beth Van Hosen, Life Observed Up Close, Lithographs and Etchings, now through June 24th, arkellmuseum.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, resume, and cover letter writing. Careersintransitionllc.com. Curtis Lumber, proudly serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more for 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. And Proctor's, presenting the School of the Performing Arts, featuring summer adventures and the Summer Academy. Proctor's.org.
And we are back, Alan, and we're here with your stories, your weather-related stories, your stories of chance. The man you thought you'd never see again or the woman you thought you'd never see again, and 40 years later, you met again and all was well. It's the divine hand of providence. Todd, you're on. Are you there?
Yes. What I'd like to do is, first of all, I just heard the tornado warning. I worked as a paramedic, and I worked in Springfield. You know, during that whole tornado period, I just wish those guys a safe day. You know, get in cover. You know, listen to the warnings. Too much damage was done the last time. And I just want to wish those guys a safe day because my story is going to pale in comparison to any of those people if that happens. So,
well, great. And thank you for that, Todd. That is very caring, and we appreciate it. Okay, so go ahead with your story.
And so I met a woman who I believe was the woman of my dreams. And almost 2 years later, she decided that maybe she rushed into the relationship a little early. She wanted her own time, but right now I'm going through that now. And the other day I happened to be at Mercy Hospital, and I saw a priest. And I got to tell you, I'm not the most religious man on the planet, but I had to talk to him, and I broke down and I told him everything about, you know, me and my faults and what I would do to get this woman back. And you know, he put it in God's hands, and I'm like, you know what? And I sit here every single day lamenting, and I still keep in touch with her, and I tell her daily that I care for her, and I'm just waiting for that day that she comes back, and I just pray to God it's not 40 years.
And now Todd, did you tell her about the priest and what he said?
Yes, I did, and she kind of knows that I'm not, I'm religious in my own way, and I told her about the priest. She goes, good, you need to talk to me. I'm like, yeah, but you've got me talking to priests now. So when I start turning towards religion to fix a relationship, you've got to know it means something to you. And she, you know, she agreed that it does mean something to her. And you know, her approach to it is time will tell. And, you know, and that's what I'm clinging to. And like I said, I just hope it's not another 40 years. That would, for me, that would be awful. But you know, if it happens, it happens.
Todd, you're a good man, and we thank you for your call. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good
thank
story.
You.
Let's go to Cheryl in Montgomery. Cheryl, you're on.
Hi, yes. I have a story about a ring. When my mother was born in 28, they moved into a chicken ranch that had horrible soil, but they set it up. And then my grandmother at one point bought my mother a ring. Her birthday was in July, but this was, of course, a ruby. It was impossible. She had a garnet. And when I got to be about a teen, still in high school, she said, now this ring, I lost this ring picking apples one time for somebody, and you know, for money. And I was horrified because my mother had given it to me and we didn't have the money. And then several years later, the guy that had the orchard found the ring in the orchard and gave it back to my grandmother, who then gave it back to my mother. She said, I'm going to let you have it on one condition, that you never take it off, not to wash your hands or anything. So I thought, good deal. Beautiful, love, things on the side of it red. And so I couldn't find it all of a sudden. And I thought, oh, God, I can't tell my mother. Finally, years later, she said, where's the ring? And I said, I don't know. She goes, well, I found it off of your finger on the sink when you were washing your hands, evidently, and I took it to see how long it would take. I said, I didn't want to tell you. And she says, well, I'll keep it for a while. She got Alzheimer's, couldn't remember anything. I did find like a phony ring that must have been to her the same ring. And then when she died, I found some jewelry, and one, I thought, that's too small. It couldn't be that one. And I finally realized after she died that that was the ring. It's just I was younger and it looked bigger to me. So I still have the ring, and I'm very happy to have transcended from these strong women that I did on my mother's side.
Let me ask, Cheryl, let me ask you a question. And this is a troublemaker question. I warn you in advance. Would you have done that with your daughter, said, let me keep it for a while and not giving it back?
Well, the problem was different. My children are not that far away.
Yeah.
But I traveled all over Europe, camping Europe. I mean, at 17, I was out of there. So, you know, it wasn't like there was much time or confidence that I was really that, you know, together
reformed.
With them.
Yeah. I see.
So she probably just thought, well, safer here than with her traveling all over the world. So,
well, that's what happened. That was what that story in the Times Union today was all about, actually, because the guy was going off into the forest to fight in Vietnam, and he gave it to a technical sergeant he didn't know who was standing there and said, hold this for me, because he thought, you know, it was very important. It was a valuable. He might lose it. And then he didn't come back, and they didn't know where he was, and the guy searched for him for 40 years, at least according to the article. Amazing.
Wow.
Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay, so all the phones are ringing. That's great. Let's go to Donna in Springfield, Massachusetts. Donna, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
I'm in my car.
Right.
Outside of Albany.
Huh.
And you heard the tornado warning.
Yes.
And the bad thing, I have a tornado story.
Okay, can you tell it fast because you're breaking up? Go ahead.
Okay. Last year in June, there was a tornado in Western Mass.
Right.
And I work in a nursing home, and they said the tornado was headed our way.
Right.
And we had to, if this is an Alzheimer's dementia nursing home.
Wow.
And we had to get all the residents away from the windows. We had them in the hallways. Opened up the bathrooms, had a couple of them sitting in the bathrooms, and they actually were fantastic through the whole thing. Sang songs and had a great time until the whole thing was passed.
Well, go ahead.
Well, it being a dementia nursing home, we had some concerns, but they didn't seem to be bothered by it at all.
But did the storm actually hit the nursing home?
No, it didn't.
Ah, yeah.
It passed about 5 miles away.
Yeah.
But the weather was really nasty, and And a lot of our neighbors got affected.
I'll bet.
Lost their homes. Went through the state forest. And we had never seen a tornado before. But
yep.
at the nursing home, then, you know, the joke is about, the full moon. Well, barometric pressure also affects people with dementia.
Oh, interesting.
And so that one, we were concerned about that.
Yep, but they came through with flying colors, right, Donna?
They sure did.
Donna, it's an inspirational story. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Barry in Woodstock. Barry, you're on.
Okay, well, I don't have a story about a tornado except a love tornado.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
The magic number of 40 years. So that in 1965... my second cousin and I, whom I was in love with but never told her, danced together, and then she went off to college, and I was already in college in different places, and a few years later we got married a day apart to two different people.
Gotcha.
Two different ends of New York State.
Gotcha.
Good. And anyway, the usual scene in our generation was that you didn't, you kept practicing marriage. If you didn't get it right the first time, you did it over and over again, so you got it right.
Yeah.
And it so happened that 40 years later, at the beginning of 2005, I decided to try to find her on the internet just to see what she was doing.
Yep.
And within a day, I found her. I said, I'm not sure if you remember me. She wrote back saying, not only do I remember you, but, where have you been? And I wrote that I loved her, and within 3 days, we decided to get together, and within 8 months, we were married in Woodstock, and our lives were totally turned around, and now it's 7 years later.
Has the second cousin thing gotten in the way at all or helped?
I think it's actually helped.
How so?
Because of the fact, well, for one thing, it's been pretty rare for me to go out with someone or meet someone who's exactly the same age. Within weeks, and because of the fact that our mothers are pregnant at the same time, that happened, and because we grew up at the same time, we grew up in the same wider family, we have shared memories not only of our family but also of the stuff that our generation went through.
How long had she been separated while you were out there?
How long had she been? How long has she been not with me?
No. With her current husband, with the husband who
before?
Yes.
It was just a year and a half in between. So I just happened to hit the right window of opportunity.
Wow. Wow.
What I was going to say was that, about the second cousin thing, was that when we got together, we were 57 years old.
Right.
So the issue of our having children, which anyway I don't really know what to say about, was not a factor anymore. But the fact that we've been in some of the same places at the same time, like the fact that I was an anti-war activist on the East Coast, and she was involved in California in trying to work with people in the military.
Were your parents left of center in their orientation?
Her parents were. Mine weren't. Our wider family.
Right.
Our grandparents were siblings. Okay? My grandmother.
Wait a second.
Wait.
Your grandparents were siblings?
That's right.
Your grandparents.
My grandmother and her grandfather were sister and brother.
Grandmother. And I see. I get it. And that's how you became second cousins, you mean?
Right, that's how the case that comes.
Ah.
And her grandfather and her whole side of the family were totally red, totally internationalist, totally, peace and justice, et cetera, totally premature, anti-fascist, blah, blah, blah. And my side of the family were total religious fanatics, mumbling prayers and calling in holy men and, rubbing...
I shouldn't
laugh.
I apologize. Yeah.
No. You go ahead and laugh. Yeah. I mean, but the thing of it is that I wanted to be part of her family. So she always says to me, Well, you only wanted to get to me so that my parents and grandparents could be yours.
Sounds right. Hey, Barry, we got five other people on the phone. We're going to let you go. Thank you. It was a wonderful story. Thank you, Barry. Yep.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to David in Rensselaerville. That opens up one free phone. David in Rensselaerville, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
I got a weather story, sort of a tornado waterspout story. I was on the Peconic Bay in Long Island, seeing a 17-foot catboat with no motor and no radio, and it was a rainy, windy day, but great sailing weather. And I was taking a bunch of friends from New York who were not sailors out for a day sail, and we see this waterspout bearing down on us. And I immediately put down the sails and turned the boat around, hoping to be able to get back to port. But the weather was pushing me away from the marina, and then the winds reversed and pushed the boat across the bay like a cork into the bottle of the marina, which the entrance was only maybe 30 or 40 feet wide. And I had nothing to do with it. And people on the dock were clapping and applauding and praised me for my seamanship.
How do you explain it?
Well, goodness knows. I'm not a religious person, but all the women on board were crying. It was a very terrifying experience. And
did you have any ability to steer the boat at all?
Well, to some extent, it does have a big barn door rudder, it's called. I was clinging to that for dear life. But there's no way I could have gone against the force of this waterspout. To this day, I really listen closely to weather reports.
Good point.
That's about it, Alan.
David, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. I want to again remind everybody, we've been talking about a tornado warning from the National Weather Service as 216 EDT. The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for southern Hamilton County in eastern New York, extreme northwestern Fulton County in eastern New York until 2:45 p.m. EDT. At 2:13 p.m. EDT, National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado 20 miles southwest of Lake Pleasant, or 19 miles north of Little Falls, moving east at 30 miles per hour. The tornado will be near Lake Pleasant, Wells, Sacandaga Campground, and Moffett Beach Campground by 2:45 EDT. And there you are. Let's go to Nada in Hudson. Okay, Nada, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, Nada.
Okay, great, Nada. Welcome. Go ahead.
So my story is about how I met my best friend. And we have, I'll preface this by saying we have been friends for 12 years now. We have been through everything together. And we plan that when we're both, like, in our 80s, we'll get a big old Victorian house and sit out on the porch in our rockers and yell at the little kids. So anyway, it was my first college class after recovering from a bad illness. And it was medieval literature. And I noticed this girl, Star, sitting right next to me. And she looked just like a flapper from the 1920s. I just couldn't get over someone pulling off that look in 2000. And a couple of classes into the semester, we were doing the Bayeux Tapestry. Are you familiar with the Bayeux Tapestry?
I am so sorry. I'm not, Nader.
It was shown to celebrate the Norman Conquest.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 130 feet long by maybe 2.5-3 feet high. It's huge. And our professor at the time was a very strange, very flighty woman. And you could never be sure where she was going to go with something. She was all over the map. So she's showing us slides of the Bayeux Tapestry, and everyone in the class is bored out of their minds. And I look over at Star, and she's copying the patterns in the tapestry into her notebook with a pen. And then the little man showed up. The little man is about 6 inches tall in one section of the tapestry. And he's very hairy, and all I will say is that he's doing things that nobody should do in a public viewed tapestry.
Gotcha. And that's enough of that. So go ahead.
And that's enough of that. So my professor got all excited and giddy and giggling and hysterical over this little piece of tapestry. And Star and I are looking at each other like, oh my God, it's the Twilight Zone.
Oh.
So this giggling from our professor went on for about 10 or 20 minutes. And after class, I looked at Star and I'm like, hi, I'm Maida. I need dessert. Do you want to go to Cowan and Lobel's with me? So she went with me over to Cowan because we were on the SUNY campus.
Yep.
And we just started talking about this class and all the weird things that had happened. And it got to the habit that we went every Thursday after class because I was taking a dance class in the evenings on Thursday.
Yep.
And we'd go and we'd have our tea and we would have our chocolate cake. And the friendship just developed. And she has been with me through thick and thin. She's like a sister to me.
And that's a great story. All about the little man and the tapestry.
And you know what?
What?
A friend of mine gave me a fold-out copy of the Bayeux Tapestry.
Yep.
And I cannot find that little man anywhere.
Oh, my God. Now, that is interesting. How do you explain that?
I don't know, but I have a very active guardian angel.
Or maybe the professor, you know, put the little man in there.
Maybe she did. She was a little squirrely that way.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Nader, thank you. We're going to have to take a break. Thanks again. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Play it, Professor.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, featuring the exhibition Mark Adams and Beth Van Hosen, Life Observed Up Close, Lithographs and Etchings, now through June 24th, arkellmuseum.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, resume, and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont, featuring the Celebration of Peonies, now through June 16th, open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildene.org. Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts, joyellsjewelers.com. The Blue Bonnet Diner, Northampton, since 1950, offering breakfast, lunch, and dinner, banquet facilities seating 150, banquet menus, bar services, and dance floor, bluebonnetdiner.net. Utica College, offering a Master of Science degree in Healthcare Administration online, utica.edu. And Saratoga Arts Fest, Saratoga Springs, presenting a citywide celebration of the arts June 7th through June 10th, saratogaartsfest.org for event calendar.
And we are back, and we want to thank our wonderful underwriters for all they do to help WAMC. Okay, so now, guys, we're on the phone. I want to just remind you that we're following some very strange weather activity. 2:16 p.m., the National Weather Service in Albany issued a tornado warning for southern Hamilton County and eastern New York, extreme northwestern Fulton County and eastern New York until 2:45 EDT. At 2:13 p.m., National Weather Service Doppler radar indicated a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado 20 miles southwest of Lake Pleasant or 15 miles north of Little Falls, moving east at 30 miles per hour. The tornado will be near Lake Pleasant, Wells, Sacandaga Campground, and Moffett Beach Campground by 2:45. And let us go now to Laura for her story. Laura, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a love story of
Great.
How I knew my husband was the one. I grew up in the 70s. I'm 42. And in those days, those days when the T-Rex was running around.
Sure.
We had a tiny little black and white TV, and you had to wait for things to come on if the station decided to put it on. You didn't have a DVD player. So every year, my brother and I would look forward to things like The Wizard of Oz and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mm. And there was another stop-motion movie that came on, and it was done by the same people who did Rudolph, the Rankin-Bass people. And it was, came on at Halloween time, and it was about monsters, and we loved it. But I grew up and forgot what it was called. I didn't know who made it. All I knew was that it was fun. I didn't know, even know if it was black and white, because to me everything was black and white. And everyone I met, I said, do you know what this thing was called? I'm trying to find it. No, no. So I grew up, and after college, I had two major long-term love relationships in my life before I met my husband. Both of those love relationships were these great, creative, geeky guys who unfortunately did not know about this movie. They did, however, both love a series of books by Spider Robinson called Callahan's Cross Time Saloon, and they loved the computer game that had been designed for it. Well, after those relationships ended, I found the love of my life on Yahoo Personals. He had designed, he was the game designer for Callahan's Cross Time Saloon, the computer version. And I thought, wow, you know, won't they be eating their hearts out to know that I'm with their hero? And one day I said to him, oh, do you know what this movie was? I saw it. There was a girl in a tower. There's monsters. And he goes over to his shelf, pulls the movie off the shelf, and says, oh, you mean Man Monster Party?
Ah. Amazing.
We've been married for 10 years. We have a beautiful daughter.
Well, congratulations. Great story, Laura. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very inspiring.
Let's go to George. Let's see. Where's George in Clifton Park? Okay, George, you're on.
Alan, got a couple of military stories that are quick.
Well, pick one.
All right. 1966, I'm stationed at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada.
Yep.
And my roommate, his name is Bus Weller, and he is a graduate of Virginia Military.
Yep.
And there's a couple of young first lieutenants. We decided to go over to the officers' club and have a dip in the pool. And
yep.
When we went over, there was this nice young girl there, and so we decided we would chat her up a bit. So we're talking to her, and we say, well, are you a graduate, or are you still in school? Oh, I'm still in school, but I'm a senior. Where? Well, at Mary Baldwin. Well, that's
Mary Baldwin,
right outside of Stanton, Virginia, and my roommate says, well, I grew up in Stanton, and he says, I used to go over to Mary Baldwin all the time because I had a German Shepherd, and the girls used to feed it. And the girl says, I know your dog. So we go 3,000 miles to find somebody that doesn't know him but knows his dog.
But Mary Baldwin was outside of Virginia, right? Outside of Washington. Right?
Oh, well, that's Mary Washington.
Oh, that's Mary Washington.
Yeah. Mary Baldwin.
I knew a girl from Mary Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then quickly, I was at Nellis, and one of my classmates who worked on the flight line with me, named Denny, and he and his wife just had a baby.
Yep.
And one day I heard Denny's got his orders for Southeast Asia. So I called up personnel, and I said, I understand Lieutenant Denny has got orders to go to Southeast Asia. And they said, that's right. And I said, but I've been here longer than he has. Don't I go first? And they said, no, he has an overseas return date longer than you do. And I said, but is he a volunteer? And he said, no. And I said, but I'm a volunteer, aren't I? They said, yes. They said, well, you'll get your orders tomorrow.
Well, was that a good thing for you to do or not?
Well, I did it.
George, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay. Adios.
Adios. You know, that's a very interesting story, reminding me of Mary Washington, my very good friends in the Berkshires. He was, I think, Undersecretary of the Treasury, friends of my parents. They invited me to dinner, but they tried to get me a date, and the date was there. And the young woman was there. She rode horses. You can imagine me in my shiny suit. She rode horses, and she was about 6'2". She went to Mary Washington College. And we had nothing in common. She didn't even know who Pete Seeger was. When I think of that young woman, that tall young woman who rode the horses, and when I hear Mary Washington College, that's what I think of. Let's go to Melissa in Slingerlands. Melissa, you're on.
Oh, I'm on.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think you'd have time.
Yeah, no, I have time for you. Go ahead.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I don't want to necessarily give you a title. I'll let you title it because we could just call it historical fiction for right now. How's that sound? It's a memory of my mother and father.
Yep.
My father since passed recently, both academics. I will, and please, if I get some of the historical facts wrong, you can just interject. I know you know the facts.
Oh, really? Go ahead.
Yeah, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
so
go.
Hold on. Olivia, I'm on the radio, okay? So just hold on. My kids just got off the bus.
Gotcha.
And she's like, oh, really? okay, first let me start with my mom, Clarabelle Brown,
yep.
from West Virginia,
yep.
was an orphan and orphaned and raised by her family. And, you know, coal miner's daughter, the whole nine yards, born in an asparagus field out in California during the whole move, you know, go west and find some work kind of thing. Raised, came back and was raised in West Virginia. She was raised by relatives that were academics, and she ended up with a scholarship to an all-black school, Wesleyan school, with a segregated scholarship as a white person.
All right.
In the 50s.
Right.
So she wore, you know, my mom had some chutzpah, and she went there. She was 5'1". She played on the basketball team.
Whoa.
And when she finished, she was a school teacher in West Virginia teaching kindergarten in a one-room school with, you know, four classes in one gym, which was, I think, the first kindergarten back then. I'm not positive. And my aunt, being another school teacher that raised her, saw on her lunchroom wall that they were hiring teachers on Long Island. Long story short, she goes for the interview out in Suffolk County, gets the job, meets my dad. He's a school teacher in the same school district. Okay? They get they date for a year. They get married. It's the North and South meeting. Okay? They're both Italian from different regions. They're both Catholic, they're both Italian, and they're both Democrats, although my dad says he was a socialist, and blah, blah, blah. You probably would have loved him. And anyway, here we go. You ready? We used to call the kitchen table, where the leaf goes, we used to call that the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, yeah.
So one day, I'm fixing my bicycle, and I'm looking for a tool. I go in the garage, and there's this little 3-inch bust of Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's sitting next to a 3-inch bust of Jefferson Davis. And I'm going, why have they been banished to the garage?
Yeah, and how come, what was the answer?
Oh, you ready?
Yes. I've been ready for quite some time. Yes.
Well, because it leads there. All roads lead. My mother said that of course, the school said that she wasn't allowed to teach the South.
Sure, sure.
The way it really was.
Yep.
In the classroom, even though she was going to teach it and let people decide for themselves.
Okay, but I know there's a point and there are people behind you.
What's the point? Okay, well, the point was my mom was so stubborn and said, I will teach it and then people can decipher. So she took Lincoln and Jefferson Davis out and banished them to the garage until we asked. And if we asked, then my father said that my mother could teach us, that there was a self-proclaimed president in the South during the Civil War, and that you know, things weren't all northern and all fancy and all that.
Well, Melissa, she's a very smart educator.
Here she is, Clarabelle Brown, right? The big John Brown thing that's happening right now with Civil War. And I'm going to put a little plug in there that this Hatfield-McCoy thing is coming out.
Yeah, yeah, no, but that's another whole story for
another
time.
Well, anyway, that's coming out. Well, anyway, my mom, of course, used to say, oh, I'm related to Christopher Columbus, you know, that's the Italian thing. And then she would say, I would say, well, are you sort of related to John Brown anyway? Because you are a Brown from West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she'd be like, I don't want to tell that story.
Amazing. Hey, Melissa,
One more thing.
Yeah, go
in
ahead.
In order to leave the kitchen table, because we had kitchen family of six kids,
yes.
You know, four kids, six at the table, you had to talk to my dad and mom. They would say, you know, how was school? You had to give them a story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You had to say something to get away from the table. But it was the Mason-Dixon line, so it was always them discussing something. My dad was a school principal. My mother was a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was everything. It was... you know, the unions, the
Melissa, you've got to finish up. You've got to finish up.
Yeah. All right, here it is. You couldn't get a word in edgewise.
So you had to talk, but you couldn't get a word in edgewise.
So I would get up at the, I would go, could I please
I wonder how you
excused?
Got it. Yeah.
I wonder. So can I please be excused?
And they would yes,
say,
you may.
Well, give us, tell us something. And I'd say, well, I learned today that parsley is an herb. And my mother would go, it's a vegetable.
That is stunning.
Well,
Melissa, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much, Melissa. That was a great phone call, wasn't it, folks? Let's go to Perry from Hancock. Okay, Perry from Hancock, you're on.
Phew. Hi. I have a great story, and it just makes me so happy to even remember it.
Okay.
About 6 years ago, I came to the East Coast from California to visit some relatives in the Berkshires. And both sides of my family are from the Berkshires, but our branch of the family tree relocated to California. I was very much in touch with my father's relatives, but my mother's relatives, not so much. And I wasn't sure how to reach them, but I thought, well, since I'm going to be here, I'd really like to try to get in touch with some of them.
Sure.
I had met one of them 20 years prior to that and had never been in touch with any of them since other than stories through the family. So here I am, 2005, in the Berkshires, in North Adams, at the Fall Foliage Parade. And it's crazy, and there are lots of people, and I'm wandering around, and I don't know anybody, and I find a spot, which is a good vantage point for the parade, and I sit down, and this woman comes down the street and sees there's a space next to me, and she sits down, and we start talking about the parade and how cute everything is, and she asks me if I'm from the area, so I kind of tell her, well, you know, I was born there, but I've lived in California all my life, but I'm trying to find my relatives. And she said, well, I've lived here all my life. She said, what are your family names? So I told her my mother's maiden name, family, and I said, and the only one I know is this one individual. She turned to me and she said, that's my very best friend.
Yeah.
So here I was, total stranger in town, happened to get a seat right next to the woman who was the very best friend.
No, we got that part. So then what happened?
Okay, so then she says, let me put you in touch with her. And she took my phone number at the hotel, walked away, made a phone call, came back and said, you guys are having lunch together tomorrow. So we were able to have lunch together. We were able to catch up. And now I live here. My husband and I retired here, and she and I are the very best friends. And
In Hancock. You live in Hancock?
Well, I'm living in Hancock, yes. In the North Adams area.
Right. Right. Well, that's a great story.
It is. If I had not had this woman sit next to me, I never would have
You never know. It could have happened a different way. But that's true. A lot of us have gone through those life-altering experiences based on circumstance at a particular moment. You're
exactly.
Absolutely right.
It was just amazing.
Hey, Perry, thanks for the great phone call. Appreciate it a lot.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Bye. And that's it for today. I want to just say that we're about out of time. And I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those who were left on the line. That's what it says here, but no one was left on the line. Support for the Vox Pop comes from, get ready, whoops, I got to have my glasses on for this. There's a lot of them. Harlow Luggage, Northampton, Massachusetts, featuring Briggs and Riley and Eagle Creek Luggage. Handbags by Bagalini, leather goods, silver jewelry, and gifts and accessories by Brighton. Online, shopharlow.com. Fidelity Investments, Albany Investor Center, located at 59 Wolf Road. 1-800-FIDELITY or fidelity.com for more information. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSESIPC. And St. George's School, Clifton Park, New York, accepting fall applications for full-time kindergarten through grade 2 programs. St. George School, CP.org for enrollment applications. And Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, teaching Romanas Pilates. providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private, semi-private, and small group classes. ReformYourBody.com. And remember, everybody, that there are some important weather things out there, and the possibility of thunderstorms in northeastern, northwestern Fulton County and southern Hamilton County, and be very, very careful wherever you are. Love to hear that you're all okay because you heard it and took care of yourselves. Again, thanks for being with us on the Vox Pop. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting Vox Pop.